Thank you very much for the opportunity to share the word with you all. I would like to invite you, please, to open your Bibles in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worth to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worth to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put on him, and put a ring in his hands and shoes in his feet, and bring the fattened calf, and I will kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house and heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entered him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young colt that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And his father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother has dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Brothers and sisters, imagine, please, a very rich father. He built, with effort and dedication, a great international company, a respected and admired business with branches in several countries. His only son is the general manager of the company. He has a position of trust with a great salary and many privileges. But one day, this son walks into his father's office and says, "Dad, I am tired of this. I want to leave. Give me my share of the inheritance now, as if you were already dead. I don't want your name anymore, not this company, not even you. I just want to the money I think I deserve. The father, with a broken heart, signs all the papers. And the son leaves and soon wastes everything on trips, parties, foolish business deals, and fake friendships. He ends up ruined, broke, and humiliated. After much suffering, this son decides to come back, and he thinks, oh, I will ask my father to hire me again. Not as a manager, of course, but maybe he will accept me as a simple worker. I don't deserve anything, I know that. But now imagine this scene. This young man arrives dirty and ashamed and says, Dad, give me any job. I just need to survive. And his father answers, my son, come back to your old position as a manager. Come back home as my beloved son. Let me ask you one question. Would you do that? If you had someone as a son who behaved like this, would you invite him back in the same way, in the same position? I don't believe. If it was me, I would not. Not without first making sure that my son had already changed. Not without first watching his attitudes, testing his sincerity, and put him on a trial for a good while. Don't you do the same? But here, Jesus is challenging us. Because Jesus is the master of parables, he uses images and teach deep lessons with one parable. For example, when Jesus wanted to teach about humility, he didn't give a long speech. He took a child and put him by his side and showed what humility was. When speaking about the power of evil, Jesus didn't give a huge lecture. He compared it to leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was leavened. When speaking about the influence of the church, he was extremely practical and concrete. He compared the church to the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And now, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells us the most well-known parable of all, the parable of the prodigal son, to teach us about the Father's grace is greater than his children's sin. But to really understand this parable, my brothers and sisters, we need to imagine this scene where it was told. Jesus was in a house surrounded by tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors, men who collected taxes for home, and they were considered traitors, dishonest, and also greedy people. Sinners, people with questionable morals, known for their public sins. Outside the house, the Pharisees and scribes, the religious leaders of that time, they looked at the house and they were with disdain. They were shocked that someone who called himself a teacher, someone who spoke about God, would spend time with that kind of people. These men receive sinners and eat with them. So before these two very different groups, the religious and immoral people, in another hand, the proud and self-righteous religious people, Jesus tells this parable because he would like to teach both of them. And teach what? The first lesson, everyone is lost. All of us, brothers and sisters, were lost. So if you are with your Bible in hands, you can see that Jesus told three parables in this chapter. The first parable, it is the parable of the lost sheep. So the sheep was in the wilderness, far from the shepherd's home. She was lost. But do you think a sheep would know that she was lost? Yes. As our pets, when they are lost, they know they are far away from their own owners. And they suffered. The sheep has the same mentality. When they see they are lost, they know they are lost. So that sheep was lost outside home, and she knew that she was lost. The second parable is about the lost coin. Now we have a coin which is lost inside the house. Does the coin know that it was lost? Of course not. So we have a sheep which is lost outside, and she knows that she was lost. And we have a coin which is lost inside home, but doesn't know that it was lost. And now we have two sons, a father with two sons. One is lost outside, and he knows that he was lost. Another one is lost inside house, and he doesn't even realize that how far his heart was from the father. So the young asked his inheritance. But if you see the verse 12, when he asked, he said, the father divided his property between them. Both sons have received the money. The first one asked, but the second one was waiting for the opportunity to receive it. So in the end, the younger son is more honest. He knows he has sinned. The older son, however, lives by appearance. On the outside, he looks righteous, but the inside, he carries bitterness, envy, and the contempt for his brother. Look at this, please. God is less offended by the honest of a sinner than by the hypocrisy of a saint. God is less offended by the honest of a sinner than by the hypocrisy of a saint. Where are the prodigal sons? They are on the street corners, in bars, on the streets, and in prisons. Many don't even have the courage to come, to go inside the church. They think there is no place for them here. They don't feel comfortable in the Father's house because they haven't been found yet. And when God finds them, it is almost out there, on the streets, in place of shame, in the life where they are living. When I think about this, about Rwanda, for example, I think about the Muslims. We have more than 300,000 Muslims around us in Kigali. We have atheist people. We have tribes that haven't been reached. In East Africa, we have 72 people, groups, who don't know about Jesus and the Bibles. They need to be found outside the church. But also, we have the older sons. In case of Rwanda, 8% of the population is considered Christians. They are people who are already at the church, who never went out into the world. They don't know about drugs. They don't know about prostitution or about worldly lifestyle. Mm-mm. They follow the rules. They follow their traditions. They obey the customs. They don't drink in public. They fast a lot. They dress like Christians. On the outside, they look righteous. But on the inside, their hearts are hard, legalistic, cold, and far, far from the Father's grace. They are inside the house, but they don't know. They don't know the heart of the owner of the house, the Father. So, my brothers and sisters, this parable is not only for those who never knew God. It is for us too, believers who need to be careful that our actions don't move away from the gracious heart of the Father. Because there are lost children out there, but maybe there are also many lost children inside our home. So Jesus here is redefining the idea of sin. Being lost is not living in immorality far from God only, but also serving God without loving Him. So we have these scenarios with those two people who were listening to Jesus. The first one was lost outside home. The second one was lost inside home. But the second lesson was conversion involves repentance of the heart and a changing of mind. So both were lost. What we expected from them? Repentance. That was expected, repentance. The younger one, if you see the verse 17, it is said, the younger son came to himself and decided to return to the father. He repented. But then he thought, verse 19, I'm no longer worth to be called your son. Look at this. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So deep down, he wanted to pay back his debt, to try to earn his father's favor back. But a worker would never have enough to restore such a big inheritance. He could never repay what he had destroyed. This youngest son needed not only to repent, but also to learn what grace is. Undeserved favor, love that cannot be bought, forgiveness that cannot be earned. This young man was already completely ruined. He had humiliated his father. He was not worth of anything, and he would never be able to make things right again. He needed to understand that the Father would restore him, not because he deserved it, but because his Father's love is greater than his sin. The older son also needed to repent. Even though he never physically left the house, his heart was far from the Father. His mind was blind, and he did not love his father. His obedience was nothing more than bitter dirty, without joy, without fellowship, without compassion. He needed to repentance, and he didn't. But also, he needed to learn something more. The first one, it was expected to repent, and he did. And he needed also to learn about God's grace. This son, the oldest now, he didn't repent, but also he needed to learn about receive his brother. Can you see the verse 30 when he said, this son of yours came. My friends, when he heard about that his brother had returned, he didn't call him a brother. He said, the sons of yours. But the father replied, this your brother, in verse 32. Conversion only shows itself in the lives of the older brothers when they are able to call brothers those whom God calls sons. There is no room for pride in the kingdom of God, because all brothers need to be reconciled through the grace of God. Jesus is again redefining what they understood as a conversion. Conversion is not just about quitting sinful actions. It's not only about repenting of our visible mistakes. Conversion requires a deep change of mind, a new way of seeing life, of seeing people and the world, a worldview transformed by the Word of God and shaped by the values of the kingdom. But the good news is that the gospel has the power to transform both those who are far away, those who are near as a religious people. Why? Because God is prodigal in forgiving us. What does prodigal mean? Prodigal means someone who spends a lot, wastes a lot, and gives in great amounts. This is prodigal. Many people connect the word prodigal only with the younger son. But actually, the younger son was prodigal in wasting money only. The true prodigal in this story is the father. In this passage, if you count it, the word father appears 12 times. We have a hermeneutic rule. When it appears too much, we have our attention in this. So, Jesus wants our eyes not to be in the behavior of the sons, but also on the father. The main character of this story is the father who is prodigal in loving, prodigal in forgiving, prodigal in restoring. This is the father. Both the younger and the older son wanted the father's blessings, but neither wanted the father's presence. And that father accepts humiliation out of love for his sons. Twice in this passage, the father leaves the house. And you know, in that culture, this was extremely shameful for a man of his position. But that father doesn't mind being humiliated to reconcile his children. You can see in verse 20, it is said, and he arose and came to his father, the youngest one. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. This is the love of this father. He ran away to receive his son, to receive back his family. And then in the second time, in the verse 28, when the oldest one refused to go in, his father came out again to reconcile with the older son. But he was angry. He refused. The father came and entered him. He spoke to him. He invited him back inside. That father is prodigal in grace. He's prodigal in love. He's prodigal in forgiveness. Our father is prodigal in grace, my brothers and sisters. By the God's grace, there is no sin that cannot be forgiven. By the God's grace, there is no shame that cannot be redeemed. By the God's grace, there is no tribe that cannot be rooted. By the God's grace, there is no heart that cannot be changed. By the God's grace, there is no life that cannot be restored. By the God's grace, there is no tear that cannot wipe it out, wipe it away. By the God's grace, there is nothing that can keep us from being accepted by God the Father in Christ Jesus. I'd like to finish this sermon with the verse 31, which he said, and he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." I think this is the most true sentence in this parable. Everything that is mine is yours. Because, you know, the father shared his inheritance with both. The youngest one wasted everything. He spent everything. So who was paying for this party? The oldest one. And this is the truth. The oldest was the one who paying for that party because the young had already wasted everything. But for younger sons, as you or me, to welcome home with a celebration, the older son had to pay the cost. But our true older son is called Jesus Christ. Unlike the older brother in this story, Jesus loved his young brothers, you and me. He left his glory. He came to pay our debt with his own life. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is the heart of the gospel, brothers and sisters. Jesus did not come for people who think they are good enough. He came for people who know they are sick and they are lost without him. The cause of the gospel is not try harder or be better. The call is to repent, to believe, to trust in him, to trust in the grace of the Father through Jesus Christ. No one is saved by works. No one earns forgiveness. No one deserves grace. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Come to Jesus. Bring your sin, your weakness, your shame. He already paid the price, your price, my price. He came to save sinners like us, like me. May God bless you.